I think I just have to reboot Skype. Go ahead and talk. Hello. It sounds like if you put a beat behind this, it would make a pretty good noise rock song.
This sounds really bad. Like I can hear a bunch of fuzz in my headphones.
Yeah. Let me reboot Skype. You reboot Skype too and call me back.
Alright.
Okay.
Yeah, with me, y'all. The Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. This is the lead singer of the Freedom Fiends, Michael W. Dean, the Iron Hamster. On the other end of the inner tubes, we got Mr. Lusander Fiend. What are you known as and how should we reference you, sir?
This week, I am the Chop Shop Rooster.
Chop Shop Rooster. And we got a special third wheel here. Who we got there?
Hello, this is Gretchen Clark coming at you from the soybean fields.
Oh, where's that?
Oh, rural Northwest Ohio.
Cool, man. We have, we're on a station that's 93,000 watts that I think is in soybean fields. No, it's in barley fields. It's up in Montana. And it's those are the hippest barley plants in America. What happened and how amazing is it that we're on the air? Does anyone want to address what happened before the show?
It is extremely amazing. For those of you out there in Radio Land in Cairo, Illinois, and listening on the internets, and those that will be hearing this in 4.3 years up in Alpha Centauri.
Yeah.
Michael was having some major technical difficulties, and he couldn't figure out what was going on. His audio sounded almost as bad as early Ron Paul podcasts.
Yeah.
And we almost didn't go on.
No, it kind of sounded like the band KMFDM through a really bad sound system without a beat. Yeah, that was the sound.
So almost business as usual for them.
Yep. Yeah, so...
So through the miracle of I don't know what Michael did, we are here. And
oh, I pressed the button that the cats had pressed.
Oh, okay.
We got to do a quick sound adjustment here. You guys don't have to do anything. So board op there in the great state of where are they? Missouri, Wisconsin,
Minnesota.
Thank you. I'm going to do something weird here. Be ready for it. It might get louder or quieter. So
I hear you.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Okay. I think I need to turn down the. Yeah, so anyways, what's up, guys? What's up? Talk to me. Tell me what it's all about.
Well, it's just another day in the life in the failed state project of Detroit.
Yeah.
But I'm really curious to hear what's going on in northwestern Ohio in the soybeans and the in the deer hitting capital.
I was just going to say, yeah.
the deer hitting capital of the Midwest. What's life like there in Ohio, Gretchen?
Generally, there's a lot of dust you're inhaling right now as fields dust are coming off.
Well, there's got to be more to it than that. I know it is Ohio, but there has to be a little bit more.
Yeah.
There's a feline population problem.
I'll take them. I'll take all your extra cats.
Really?
Not really, but yeah.
That'd be a lot.
and we will be talking about that later on in the show in great detail. But I had the pleasure of meeting Gretchen at the second annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest out at Circle Pine Center a couple months ago, and she came on the radio and everything. And it was truly a pleasure to meet you, Gretchen.
Me too.
How was it for you going out there and meeting all these fellow Liberty people that you'd never met before and eating all that extra bacon and everything else? How was that for you?
I actually didn't get any bacon. Somehow missed the bacon. I was camping in the orchard, so I don't know. By the time I made it to the main area, the bacon must have been gone. But it was a really good time. It was I didn't know what to expect, you know, so... slightly frightening, a bunch of strangers, but everybody was really nice. I mean, exceeded my expectations. A bunch of really peaceful people. I mean, showed up in the dark, like, wow, we don't know what we're doing. We don't know where to go. And this the lady kind of headed up a lot of it, Shannon. She's like, oh, hi, I'm Shannon. And like, oh, yeah, we talked. And She's like, let's hug. And everybody was just really, really kind.
So it was kind of like
Shannon, let's hug.
It was kind of like a mini Woodstock without the music and less
and
mud.
The mud.
More mud, less mud. All right.
Okay. And that was your first Liberty event, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So when you were packing up your bags and leaving the soybean fields and trying not to hit any deer on the way out of Ohio, what were you actually expecting?
What was I expecting when I left?
Yeah, what were you expecting to see when you got there? Because we know how it turned out, but what were you actually expecting?
I figured probably a pile of hippies hanging around a fire, you know, which was sort of that. And
okay, so you met Mary and Jason.
Yes. Oh, they were some of my favorite people. Yeah. They were really nice.
No, I just thought of an analogy. I have this new compressor that, so the reason I'm going to interject, we're going to go back to the story. The reason we were like falling down the hill coming on the show, like literally I called the board op and said, oh, play a repeat for the first segment. We'll get on by the second. A cat had walked across my mixing board. I know this is like my excuse. The dog ate my homework all the time, but
my cat ate my mixing board.
The cat stepped on a button. I mean, they're just these little like kitty paw shaped, you know, sized buttons that are really easy for cats to press by just walking across here. And it's usually covered up, but sometimes my back's turned before when I'm, you know, doing something before or after a show, before I cover it up, they walk on it. And I don't know. And it was, I'm going to probably try to play the recording of what it sounded like because it's so, it was kind of cool. but I have this new, compressor. It's actually not on right now because during the break, we're going to actually do the sound check we should have done before the show that we would have done if I wasn't trying to actually get some sound to you guys and to the studio that was legible, intelligible conversation, you know, talking. But it's got a really neat function on it. It's got these LED meters that compare the input level to the output level, like what's coming in to what's changed and sent out. And one of the tricks that my friend taught me is you kind of adjust things until you press the input button and then press the output button and talk at the same level, and the levels match is part of doing this right. Wouldn't it be neat if life had a button like that for like matching expectations to what actually happened?
Yeah, that would be nice.
I think that's what we're doing.
That would be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and you could maybe tune your expectations ahead of time to deal with what's actually going to happen.
Right.
Yeah. What would be very nice and what would facilitate that is to be able to eliminate something that always keeps screwing up the expectations.
Yeah. I have a saying that expectations are appointments with resentments.
Ooh. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yep.
Yes, that is a good one. It's kind of like meeting somebody for the first time. You've spoken about this before, that you don't really want to meet your heroes because then you find out that they're not the great man that you thought they were.
No, and you know what I'm learning more and more, and I'm amazed that it took me to age 50 to realize this, is that more often than not, the people who rise to the top of their game in something, it's not necessarily talent. It's more being a Richard, being a creep, and The people who get the most famous at things often have deep-seated personality flaws when you look behind, when you scratch the surface and look underneath at the look below the shiny exterior, everything's great, let's smile exterior, I have answers exterior. You know, some of the people that seem the happiest and most salesman-like in Barnum and Bailey, like, hey, everybody thinks they're great, are just some of the creepiest people underneath. Or if not creepy, just have really deep insecurities and flaws and, you know, suspect dealings in their lives, or just are not happy. So don't meet your stars is what I'm saying. Like I've met, you know, like I've used to go backstage to go meet bands that I liked and stuff. Like after meeting them, just like 2 minutes with them, I didn't really want to go see them anymore. I'd still listen to them.
What you're describing as far as like the meteoric rise and the eventual fall is a charming sociopath personality.
Yeah.
The, they're able to polish themselves up and maintain the shine for a certain amount of time, but eventually the dust starts to settle and the brass starts to turn green and everything else, and you find out that they're really not what they portray themselves to be.
Well, sociopathy also comes along with a lot of attractive qualities to a lot of people. I mean, sociopathy basically means you can mimic anything. You're not burdened by any kind of morality. You invent your own morality. You can alter it at a whim to, you know, when you break your morality, you can justify it. And what else? Let's see. You don't feel other people's suffering. You don't have empathy for it, but you're very good at kind of being a chameleon and learning to feign the, you know, to like, basically you're a robot, but you can imitate humans really well.
Yeah, I guess that would be a good description of it. Gretchen, what are your thoughts on the matter?
I think it's frightening.
Have you ever met any sociopaths? We don't want names. I'm just curious.
Off the top of my head, I mean, I'm sure I have. Maybe not people that are of famous celebrity status. Oh, no,
they're not all. They're not all famous at all. But
a
lot of famous people are sociopaths.
I have met some somewhat famous people, though. There was a little bit of a letdown. You're like, oh, you're kind of a jerk.
Yeah, you can be a jerk
without... baseball players for Detroit Ball Club.
You can be a jerk without being a sociopath. I'm kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, also, and Michael, I'm sure you're talking about somebody specific that will be
I'm
piling
not.
On a
I'm,
little bit
I'm
later.
I'm not at all.
But
Well, I know we're going to do something about that later, but I'm just talking in general. Like, and this isn't even me giving up a dog whistle so certain people will hear it and other people, there any culpable deniability. No, I have spent my life studying and recognizing sociopaths. The amazing thing to me is that a lot of people just not only don't recognize it, but are attracted to it. And there are people who would be like, I would never listen to a sociopath. But it just kind of goes along with charisma with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's the cult of personality.
Yeah.
The appearance of a larger-than-life figure, the great man, or the great woman for that matter.
Yep, yeah. Hillary Clinton's a great woman. She's a great sociopath.
Who?
Hillary Clinton, our next president, the lady that's going to kick us off radio.
What do you mean our?
Oh yeah, thank you. It's not mine. Not my president. None of them are.
Yeah, she's not my leash holder. So, but although I may consider voting for her. Oh, as an attempt to
help
bring
collapse
down,
America or the world or government.
No, not America, the United States, the empire.
Oh, that sounds like a sovereign citizen argument. Not America.
No.
Yeah, it's
no,
all
America,
the same thing.
America is under U.S. occupation.
Whatever, man. You and you armchair lawyers. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends. And I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most of our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Freedom Fiends, yo. I think Lou just fell down the stairs, but that is kind of the nature of the Freedom Fiends. It's kind of like college radio with a pro sheen applied to syndicated talk radio. But talking about like liberty, everyone talk radio talks about we need more liberty. Well, we need more liberty. Not like everyone else says they need more liberty. We really need more liberty. And our idea of liberty is a little different. I mean, everybody of every political stripe and every tyrant throughout the ages has used the word liberty as their banner. But we really mean it. To us, it means no oppression, no leaders, government so small that it's theorized about by particle physicists. And here to tell you more, while I still keep tweaking this new toy, is Lou. Go ahead, Lou.
I just had a teaching hospital moment because I put my high-capacity coffee magazine up on the counter instead of on the table where my laptop is.
Yeah.
And apparently I didn't have it on there properly, and it fell into the sink instead of on top of my laptop again.
Wait, did you just fry another computer? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I didn't fry another computer. That's what I'm telling you.
Good, man. Good.
Yeah, that's
good.
By not putting the weapon of mass destruction next to the laptop, everything's cool, and I'll be able to finish the show.
Didn't you see my Freedom Fiends Guide to Podcasting video where at like hour mark 1 minute mark 27, I said, "Oh, and get one of these spill-proof sippy cups like Mark Edge uses on Free Talk Live."
I have a sippy cup.
Oh, okay. It's spill-proof. Yeah, Mark says that Ian got it for him because Ian thinks Mark's as responsible as a one-year-old child or two-year-old child.
But anyway, yeah, going back to the whole Liberty thing, and I want to elaborate on what I said going out to the break there. I said that America is under U.S. occupation. I am a big fan of what we are told America is, being the land of opportunity to where anybody can come here, pull themselves up by their bootstraps, you know, coming from another country or being dirt poor here, and anybody can, with a couple of good ideas, some ingenuity and elbow grease, they can make it. Well, I can't say for a fact that that has always been the case. That could be the folklore that is handed down to make people feel better about their enslavement by telling them that they're free because they have all their permits and licenses and just all that other nonsense that goes along with the brainwashing. But that idea of America where anybody can make it and where you absolutely are free and you don't have to worry about a bunch of bureaucrats coming around and bothering you over your chickens, your cats in your yard, or just anything. True freedom, true liberty. That is something I believe in. But with this huge wart-covered beast, this monster leviathan known as government, or as I now call them, the tiny bunch of people.
Yeah, what does that mean?
I'm going.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to strip government from my vocabulary. I'm going to call it what it really is: a tiny group of people. There is no magic, no superpowers, no great men. It's just a bunch of people. It's people like Nancy Pelosi. It's people like that jack wagon that says that Guam is going to tip over if you have too many soldiers on it. It's those idiots in the early 1900s that wanted to ban devil wagons and wanted people to run out in front with a lantern and a flag and have a speed limit of 3 miles per hour. It's those idiots. It's the idiots that banned sliced bread. It's the idiots that banned a plant. It's the idiots that infringe upon a right that shall not be infringed. There's nothing special about them. Once you wipe away the cult of personality, the religious mysticism, and the mythology of government, it's just a tiny bunch of unremarkable dirtbag people. That's what government is. That is worms. A god worms. That status worship.
Tell me how you really feel.
I don't like them, and I wish that government was only taught in history class.
Yeah. I think I said that about 3 years ago to Nima Vedati. But you can, we share here, and I'm not trying to take, I'm not trying to say like, that's mine. We share everything on the Fiends, but not in a communist way. We trade everything freely on the Fiends. It's more like capitalism.
And back to my original point of America being under U.S. occupation, the U.S. government, the meddling monster that has to stick its fingers into everything and have a part of it, the central planning and controlling of every activity of American life, that is what I am sick of. That is the occupation force, the enemy occupation force that is destroying America.
That's feisty libertarian rant number one for this show, for sure, man.
Maybe one and two. And I'm going to need your help on this, Michael, because there may be a time where I accidentally say the G word instead of tiny group of people. So what I'm going to need you to do is I'm going to need you to clang together 2 10-ounce Bitcoin bars whenever okay. I do that.
You mean the G word, government. I'll say it once so we can know what not to say.
Yeah.
So if it's a filthy word, man.
Yeah. Just clang your Bitcoins together and as like a little subtle warning. So what say you, Gretchen? How do you feel about the filthy enemy occupation force?
I'm just tired of it. I just want to be left alone. I don't even want to think about it.
Well, it's exhausting. We can talk about things other than government for most of the rest of the show, and I think we will.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza, and I am your lead singer, Michael W. Dean, hanging out with Gretchen Clark and Lusander Fien. And I'm going to let Lou bring this back in for real, because I got to go take pictures. This is a teaching hospital. Take pictures of your equipment's settings and knobs and buttons so you can get back to the good settings if you need to. So I'm going to go do that while Lou talks with Gretchen.
This is Lusander Fien, and I am the lead air guitar player for the Freedom Fiends. And incidentally, when I was at Porkfest, I took pictures of the Free Talk Live audio gear so that I'd know how to set it up the next time, because the first time, oh, it was bad. But anywho, anyway, Gretchen, you have a little issue that's going on down there in the soybean fields of Ohio, and it involves stray animals, feral cats, and things like that. Give us a little background on you, your involvement, and what the problem is. Tell us your story.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm heavily involved with our local Humane Society. It's a independent nonprofit organization. So it is not a county agency or any of that. And a citizen contacted a small group of people to complain about a bunch of felines on their property. They like to get in their mulch and do their business and things like that.
Oh, the world is a litter box to cats. That's why we love
them.
I like that attitude. Not really, but go on.
And so person and their property, there's a lady, their neighbor, who I guess feeds some of these cats, and I don't know if this is some legal mumbo jumbo. Is even if you don't claim ownership to a domesticated animal, but if you give it veterinary care, if you feed it,
what is it they say about terrorists? Giving it comfort and aid and comfort,
giving aid and comfort to the catarchists.
Yes,
yeah. Well, yeah, these people would deem the little felines as domestic terrorists. So this guy doesn't know what to do about it. He can't shoot them because he can't discharge a firearm in the city limits. And the woman who feeds them claims she doesn't own them. She just feeds them. They're mostly pretty wild. So he called up this man who is having trouble, called up the small group of people to complain. And they started to cite an ordinance that was put past, I don't know when, about basically like leash laws. I don't know how you can leash cats. Ugh. I understand where the man's coming from. I wouldn't want my property damaged, you know, by an animal or anyone else on two legs or otherwise. But I'm not sure. It's like, how are you going to enforce that? So they're saying there's this ordinance and it needs to be enforced. Well, who's going to enforce that? You, you know? And well, so they call in the Humane Society, and kind of the buck keeps getting passed. Like, whose problem is this? Who needs to clean up this mess and take care of it?
For what it's worth, this is not a problem that is just specific to your area. In the city that
not the overpopulation of cats, that's for sure.
Right. The city that I used to live in a few years back, they came up with a local ordinance that required cats to be on a leash, and you also had to register your cats because they were assault kittens and everything. So you had to go get...
If they're over 4 inches long, you have to register them and get a permit.
Yeah. You were supposed to go get cat tags with the city. And interestingly enough, this ordinance came about right around the time that the animal control officer for the local goon squad retired, and they did not replace him. So they intentionally implemented a unenforceable declaration. So, but anyway, yeah, there was a big complaint that the cats were killing rabbits and squirrels and stuff like that, and destroying property.
Rodents.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, they're complaining about the overpopulation, the out of control breeding, the destruction of private property, and everything else. And I says, well, hell, if that's the case, why haven't you banned teenagers yet?
Hey.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Sorry. But anyway, so
you are fined one Dogecoin.
No. Well, at least it wasn't a cat coin or Kate coin.
Those didn't really catch on, did they?
Kate coin?
Yeah.
I didn't know that it ever was even thought of.
There was a kitty coin. Yeah, there was a cryptocurrency called kitty coin. They actually talked to me about incorporating it with Meowbit and taking the place of Namecoin as the decentralized currency. And, you know, if I had more time in my hands, I would probably get together with somebody and make a new cryptocurrency specifically to replace what Namecoin tried to do. But there was just so much fighting in the Namecoin developer pool that, you know, they were like, don't use our open source project without our permission is basically what it felt like. So nobody ever wanted to do much with it.
So what it sounds like with Namecoin was they need to go to the tiny group of people and demand an ordinance that people have their Namecoin on a leash.
And literally, so anyway, like, those guys, go on. You're right.
So anyway, Gretchen. All right. So we know what the problem is. And we can kind of debate whether it's, you know, whether it's a fixable problem or not, because a lot of people have this idea, no, every problem can be fixed. No, wild animals screwing stuff up is not a fixable problem. It is always going to exist so long as they're wild animals. So what do you see as possible remedies to this problem?
Spaying and neutering your animals.
Okay, always a good thing. But when you have these wild animals, these feral cats, they're running around, if they don't have owners, who takes them in to get fixed?
I guess it'd be left up to the Humane Society. I mean, that's kind of, I guess it would be. That's what they're namely for, you know, to clean up everyone else's messes.
The state, the state rep for the very small group of people for the imaginary district in which I live, who's a guy that I've actually gone out shooting with, shoots feral cats and kills them with an air rifle. And has a permit to do that from the city, from like the animal control people. And
really,
I have really mixed feelings about that. I don't know. I really, it's just, you know, I don't know if he gets pleasure from it, but he must, cause he's not getting paid for it. It kind of, you know, it's people that go out and torture animals. I would personally beat to death with my hands if it were legal, but you know, shooting stray animals that are overpopulating an area and each one of them is going to breed and make 20 more in a year. I don't want to watch it, but I can't ethically condemn it.
Right. Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. And truthfully, as far as a cost, I mean, if you're taking any emotion out of it, I'm a big animal lover, obviously, and cat lover. It's probably would be a lot more effective and cost effective, you know, a 22 round than maybe shots and things. A lot of these animals, unfortunately, are sick too. They're sick and they have disease, you know.
Although, you know, it doesn't mean that if an animal is born outside, it's condemned for life. Literally, well, we had a cat euthanized last week. And I don't think I'm a monster. The poor little thing was diabetic and was really sick and, you know, would have required being stuck with a needle every day for the rest of its life. And even then probably had other problems. But his brother they were both found feral outside and somebody took him in and raised him. And then we got, you know, somebody sheltered him and then we got them from them. They had all their shots and we take our cats to the vet as soon as they have a sniffle. I mean, that's an exaggeration, but you know, we are never people who are like, let's see, food or cat vet, food or cat vet. Like, you know, we have, we're not rich, but we'll prioritize taking a cat to the vet. But, and our other cat, Charlie, who is 16, was literally found by my friend, Jessica Simpson. Yes, that was her real name, in Los Angeles. She found these two little kittens like thrown in a park left in a park, a giant park in LA, you know, that's like the size of a lot of cities, you know, not like a real park, like deep in the woods. She found these two little kittens. They were covered with fleas. She took them to a vet, got them defleed and cleaned up and got their shots. And well, she took them in for about 3 years. And there was about a year overlap where Charlie Cat was her cat and my cat. We lived in the same apartment building. We were friends. She had a cat door and she had a boyfriend and spent like 25 nights a month at his house. So basically She fed the cat and cleaned up his poo, and I got to hang out with him all day because I worked at home. It was pretty cool. And then she moved to New York City and asked, you know, she was going to drop him off at a shelter. And I said, well, I'll try to find a home for him that's better than the shelter will. Leave him with me. And then I was like, I like this cat. I'm keeping this cat. And Charlie is asleep on the bed behind me going, yeah.
Yeah, I personally have no use for just killing animals outright, and I'm a huge cat lover, even though I don't have cats right now. Love cats, dogs, all the critters out there. But I mean, if you do have an overpopulation problem and they are destroying private property, I there's probably plenty of other things that I would like to see happen rather than taking them out. But I do have to say that, you know, maybe taking them out is not the worst thing on earth.
And you're a friend of the animal, but a friend of the farmer too. You loves you some bacon and you cook it a lot. And yeah, I mean, I guess it basically comes down to quote the Bible, it's like man has dominion over the beasts. And I guess that's about how I feel. And I'm actually picturing Peter Griffin pointing at the talking dog and saying, I have dominion over you, beast. And I often I say that to my cats sometimes when they annoy me, just as a joke. But
and then they laugh at you.
You know, I kind of feel like animals are homesteaded and they are property. Although I really don't know. I don't want to ever get into a libertarian debate of like, in a libertarian paradise, would dog fighting be allowed or ethical? And it's like, I am so turned off by the idea of that, that I don't even want to weigh in on that. I'm not a debater anyway, but put it this way, I wouldn't do business with anybody who, you know, pits animals against each other or hurts them for fun.
Yeah. Yeah. That debate is how many catarchists can you balance on the head of a pin? Now, you mentioned the farm animals, and yeah, I'm a friend of the farmer and the bacon, and you really don't have to worry about cats taking out pigs or
friend
cows
of the farmer,
or anything like that.
Like to the point where you go to farms and demonstrate against the government when they try to, you know, regulate the, see, I don't know if that's going to catch on. I don't know if I like the tiny group of people. It's very referential to me of Larkin Rose's tiny dot video without watching the whole video. I don't think people would get it. I think it's a great video, but you know,
with the reiteration of it's not magic, it's just people.
It's also not a tiny group of people. I mean, the amount of people employed by, you know, local, county, state, federal, and, you know, the UN and all of the non-government organizations that really are government organizations in between all that. I mean, we're talking 10, 20, 30% of the world, probably. That's not a tiny group of people. I don't know. Well, you're homesteading it, and I don't know if it's getting planted on my soil. We'll be back after this trip to the market and try it some more.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
You've heard of shinybadges.com, but check out the new Causes tab. Every item includes a donation to a worthwhile Liberty project. Buy the Silk Road pin to contribute to the Ross Ulbrich Legal Defense Fund, or buy the Bitcoin Not Bombs t-shirt to contribute to Hoodie the Homeless 2014. Pick from many more. Go to causes.shinybadges.com and get yourself some quality Liberty products that not only start a conversation, but also put your money where your heart is. Plus, get a free gift when you pay with Bitcoin. Causes.shinybadges.com.
This is Mr. Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and we're talking with Gretchen and Lusander. And Lusander has a tiny group of people running around in his head, and he's going to tell you about the voices that shout through the vent at him.
Well, before we went to break, Michael was talking about how the tiny group of people isn't actually so tiny. When you look at the all-encompassing part of it, meaning the people that deliver your spam to your
the mailman. Yeah. You got to explain these terms.
Yeah, the guy who delivers the garbage to your house, the mailman.
Yeah, the mailman.
When you think about the people at the CDC who are, you know, not doing anything to really stop
now,
the spread
of
Ebola.
Now, hang on a sec. Anytime someone says anything about Ebola that is not based on fact, I'm going to just call Weimar Republic on you. You don't know that. Pick a better example. Pick one we can see. We can't see them. We see the mailman and we see how they have been. They're completely obsolete, yet we're paying. We, and I will say we, Because, you know, I'm not saying collectively we, like, we need to do this. I'm saying we are paying for it. Yeah, so mailman, give me some more.
Just basically a researcher at the CDC who's working on a cure for the common cold.
Stop.
Working on a cure for the common cold.
You don't know that. I believe it can be done better in a free market, but I really don't think you can say every scientist at the, I've heard so much crap lately. Like, everyone at the CDC is completely incompetent. Everyone at the CDC is trying to kill us. Everyone at the CDC, like, no. There are actually people there trying to work and do what they want, what needs to be done. It's being done immorally because it's being paid for by the government by the barrel of a gun, blah, blah, woof, woof. But I don't know, man. I've actually talked to someone who's dealt with the CDC. I just don't want to be typical talk radio know-it-allism. You know, I'm just going to stop you on the CDC.
All right. I will concede that there are people there that are trying to do the right thing, but the system is what keeps them from being able to do it.
Thank you. So, and some of those people are really incredibly brilliant. And in the free market, some of those same people would be doing incredible things.
That's probably true. But what I'm saying is all the people that are not involved in the gun toting and gun pointing of it, the ancillary stuff, you know, the person that does work DEA? At the CDC.
The DEA are completely...
They are the gun.
If they all went off and took up basket weaving tomorrow on an island somewhere, the world would be a better place.
Right. The people that point the guns and those that directly support them, I'm not talking about the janitor at the DEA. I'm not talking about the person that works in the mailroom that sorts the spam for them. I'm talking about the people that are directly involved in the gun pointing. All right. I consider those the government or the tiny group of people. But when you talk about the ancillary groups, the postal carriers, the person that works at the park giving tours or something like that, I don't really think of them directly as government. Yeah. I think of them as a subsection of it.
Okay. So, I think of anybody that gets a paycheck that's provided for by taxes as government, I would almost include in there people on welfare and people on corporate welfare. I think they work for the government.
Mm-hmm. But when I think of government, I think of the actual gun pointing. You know, the 535 people that get together and make decisions for 317 or 320 million, however many number millions of people that there are here on this current on this tax farm currently.
Okay. So what about them?
So I'm thinking about the decision makers and the gun pointers, the ones that make those decisions into a reality. That when you break it down, is a tiny group of people. So,
okay. Yeah, I understand what you're going at. I'm not, you come up with brilliant stuff all day long. I'm just saying this one doesn't really ring with me. I could be wrong. We'll see what the market says, whether it's picked up and used.
Well, we'll see if we get good feedback on it.
Yeah, I just think on talk radio where we have different listeners all the time, if we use the term tiny group of people instead of government, it's going to need explanation every time. And it just seems like a lot of other meme words we've come up with are kind of more self-explanatory than that.
Okay, the tiny group of people that call themselves the government.
There you go. I still don't think it's tiny, man. I think it's like 30% of the world. And, you know, Wyoming actually has the highest, for such a like sparsely populated, I don't trust the government kind of place, it actually has the highest per capita number of people working for the government, state, local, and federal, of any state in America.
Worms.
And furthermore, this is what radio sounds like now. Having fun, Gretchen?
Yes.
Cool.
Worms.
We'll be back for hour two of the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market, where you can buy worms that glow in the dark for Halloween.
Hey, there's some Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons! Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Good evening, Sundance. Good evening, Belle Fouche. Who else we welcome in there, Lou?
Sturgis.
Sturgis, South Dakota, joins us in the second hour of the Nighttime Freedom Fiends for their morning drive time from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m., which is morning drive time because people work for a living in Wyoming, and it's a tube-based economy here on the Freedom Fiends. This is Michael Dean. I am the lead singer of the Freedom Fiends. I'm talking to Lou Sander Fiend. Hello, Lou.
And I am the lead air guitar player for the Freedom Fiends.
If you want, you could be something better than that. You could just be lead mouth number, you know, everybody's lead mouth, I think. So
yeah, but I get all the great air groupies.
I like that. That's funny. Did you make that up?
Yeah.
And Gretchen. Are you there, Gretchen Clark?
Yes, this is Gretchen Clark.
Yeah,
she's backup vocals.
She's the third wheel for the night. Have you been on before? I feel like you did an interview from the Peace and Liberty Festival, right? Right?
Yeah, I talked to you for about 2 minutes.
Yeah, but this is your first on the whole show, right?
Yes.
You had to think about it. Did you have to think about it? You weren't sure? I'm not sure.
No, I don't think so.
I'm not sure, because I think it's because we've emailed so much that I feel like you've been on the show already. Like, yeah, she's one of us, man. Have you picked out...
I've listened to you guys so much, so it's like, oh yeah, it's people in the room talking to me, only I can't participate in the conversation.
Is it kind of weird? Here's what I think, though. Like, people listen to talk radio and kind of probably more than even like movies and stuff, like imagine relationships with the people or imagine conversations with the people, because talk radio is so conversational. Conversation is the oldest form of human communication, even before there was writing. It's the most innate. It's the most deeply seated in your psyche that talk really just connects to something in you. Is it weird, like, listening to this show for a year or more regularly and then being on it?
Kind of, but not.
Do you think when you listen to it and you're not on it now, you're going to talk to the radio?
In my head, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we are no longer just the voices in your head, Gretchen.
Yeah.
All right, so...
I know, we learned that when I met you in person.
Yeah.
One more thing about the Fiends. We're just so personable and lovable, and rather than just, you know, just giving out the obligatory, Obama's a socialist, his feet stink, and he blah, is. Blah, blah. And he puts the execute and executive branch.
He does.
And all that other nonsense. You know, we come off more as real people having real conversations, things like that. So I can see where people would identify with us. And,
yeah.
And plus, we are lovable. Did I mention that?
Yeah. And I wasn't laughing. I'm not saying we're not when I laugh. I'm just kind of like, wow, that's very bold and sweet of you to say. And
Because that's one of the things I noticed about the Fiends before I became a real fiend. Back when I was still in like small F.
Back stage. When you were just yelling at your radio before you got on the show?
No, back when I was yelling at my BlackBerry because it wasn't even on the radio yet.
There you go. So you mentioned groupies, and there's a guy with a lot of groupies. And yes, it's time for Freedom Fiends. All Molyneux. Wait, let me put in my effect. All Molyneux, all the time. So,
yay!
Stefan Molyneux is this internet guru who has, he makes a bunch of videos and purports to be a philosopher, says, I won't say he's pretending, but he says he's a philosopher and he says he's a libertarian. Philosophy is kind of an amorphous definition. I'm not going to really deny him the right to put that on his business cards he prints up at Kinko's. But I don't think he's a libertarian anymore. He was an important part of a lot of people's journey to libertarianism 4 or 5 years ago when he was making really solid videos that were scripted and kind of explained things. And then this thing happened that I call the Molyneux effect, which is where you get so many followers that you start to believe everything you say out of your mouth is gold. When you surround yourself with nothing but people who think you're great and actively block people who don't think you're great and try to censor free speech in a Stalinistic way. People are calling him Stalineux now. Do you know that?
I did not know that.
I haven't heard that one yet.
Yeah, we're getting a little...
I refer to him as Stefan Malamute.
Malamute.
Yeah, Stefan Alaskan Malamute.
Yep, and if you he'll take down your cat videos from YouTube. Isn't that what Lisa said? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nima Vidati's mother has been making some really awesome pics lately. And I think she was the one who, when I was talking about the Molyneux effect, and the Molyneux effect is kind of specific to media people who don't have co-hosts. When you're a one-man show like Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh or Stefan Molyneux, you have the Molyneux effect. People with no co-host, you know, co-hosts can kind of like keep you in check and act as checks and balances for your more ridiculous ideas or even ideas that aren't, you know, like all the, I'm not going to pull Lou out loud on this. If you're the only person on the show talking or people call in and just ask you questions and you answer them like the great guru dispensing wisdom from on high, it goes to their heads and they kind of start to really believe that they are gods. And it's really ugly and really creepy. And I think it was Lisa who said that the Molyneux effect should be in the next DSM.
Ooh, good one.
Which is the big book of crazy that psychiatrists have of the listing of all the mental illnesses. Like,
well, the DSM is also the billing manual.
Is it actually? Or are you making a joke?
No, that's the truth. Because these things are in the DSM, they become billable charges.
Ah, so, that's why they like to add things to it, like oppositional defiance disorder, which is how they describe libertarians.
Yeah, and one reason that the Molyneux effect will not wind up in the DSM is because it describes all politicians.
Yeah, I'll bet there's something in the DSM already that resembles the Molyneux effect, you know, delusions of grandeur or something. I'm not going to pretend to understand psychiatry and know what it would be called, but it's a mental illness, man.
There's an asterisk next to it that says excludes politicians.
Yeah, there you go.
Just like all the laws.
I'm not going to say it's a mental illness, and I'm choosing my words very carefully because people are suing people now. And I don't want to be in part of DOES 1 through 50 and anything Molyneux initiates. So basically, here's what happened. This guy has been operating with impunity for about 10 years. He has not been puned. People tried to pune him. There have been four or five websites for several, you know, 5-6 years devoted to pointing out his lunacy. He's Stalinistically tried to get some of those websites taken down. They're not slander, man. They're basically, you know, critique. And he doesn't like critique. And here's the thing. If you believe you're a philosopher and you believe you have a philosophy that can change the world like this guy does, and his philosophy is really just his interpretation on world events. It changes with time. You know, he has things that like a few years ago, he had a thing called real-time relationships, which was like his Bible. He made it up and he said, this is how you should behave with the world. And he never mentions that now. Because he wrote another thing called universally preferable behavior, or UPB. And now that's the thing. So, you know, I guess he's a work in progress, and what's the only thing that matters changes from time to time, and everybody has to learn a bunch of new stuff in his, I'm not going to say cult, in his organization, from his groupies, from his mala nuts, from his followers, his followers are devoted. Like they will come after you. They'll come after me for what I'm saying right now. They're probably listening right now, typing their responses. And how are we going to gang up on this guy? What are we going to do to him? And the thing is, if you really have philosophy and it's quality and it's world changing, you don't need to issue takedown notices. You don't need to act Stalinistically. You don't need to get your followers to go after people. Because a real philosophy, the market will take care of it. The market will spread it. And you don't have to go after people and censor them. You don't have to go back and censor yourself and remove things from the internet that you said before that people have pointed out were ridiculous. So this guy's been a real kind of thorn in the side of the liberty movement for a long time, because a lot of people think he is what libertarianism is and or anarcho-capitalism is. And he's one of the most visible, or the most visible to the general public, anarcho-capitalists or libertarians. And it makes us all look bad, and we don't like it. And it's also just, the guy just says absurd things that you can't not point out. But the thing is, A, most of the libertarian rock stars, you know, the big libertarians, will stick up for this guy no matter what. They're like, I met him and had dinner with him at Porkfest. He was delightful. Yeah, he's delightful because he's like mocking, you know, human emotion. He knows how to feign human emotions and fool you. And he's, you know, turned on the charm. But he's done some really heinous things. And the most recent heinous thing he did was issuing a DMCA copyright infringement takedown notice on a YouTube channel called True Shibes, or True Sheebs, T-R-U-S-H-I-B-E-S, that was making videos that were critique. They were plainly critique. You know, he took this one. It's a woman, it turns out. She took videos by Molyneux and chopped down these 3-hour long discussions that he does, and found like the most ridiculous parts of him and put him into 2-minute videos. And it was a great resource for people when people are arguing, he's never said that. And you're like, yes, he did. And you can just send him to that link. And instead of having to fish through his 20,000 hours of output to find it. And that's another thing, is the people who love him are very good at technique of protecting their master. Like, they will, knowing full well he said the thing you're saying he said, they'll say, prove it, and waste your time trying to go find it. And True Shibes provided a service to make it easier to go find that thing. And
let me interrupt for a second.
Go ahead, man.
That defense, are they knowingly defending something that is wrong, or is it cognitive dissonance and denying what is correct?
Yeah. Yep.
So,
yep. Anyway. So, the video channel that was taken down off of YouTube. So basically, he's done a lot of things like this in the past. He's tried to take down websites. He's censored people. He's blocked people. He's badmouthed people. There are people who like him a lot. I don't know if they're associated with him or not, who do really nasty things and go after people's families and try to, like, you know, say horrible things about them, including me and my family. They've done it to me, of you know, like posting people's addresses. And that's called doxing. And when you dox somebody, here's the unwritten rule of the internet. When someone doxes somebody, basically they're saying, the doxer is saying, I'm not crazy enough to come to your house and beat you up or kill you or trash your car. But if I post your address, someone who's crazy enough to do that probably will. That's what they're hoping for. That is the unspoken social contract with doxing. And it's a really heinous idea. And so Molyneux and his right-hand man basically, like, sort of accused True Shibes of doxing, and she did not, absolutely did not. And it's gonna go viral tomorrow, and that's the news here, and I'm gonna explain why after this trip to the free market on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Freedom Fiends. Talk radio, musical extravaganza. Hi, y'all. You there?
Yo, yo.
Yo. All right. So we're talking about this article in Tech Dirt. Anarcho-capitalist, quote unquote, Stefan Molyneux sued for abusing the DMCA. The only reason I'm mentioning this is because this kind of fell under the wire and not that many people noticed it. But I predict this is going to get retweeted or reposted, or at least or maybe written about on a couple different higher level tech blogs tomorrow, and then it's probably going to go viral, and then it's going to go to probably, like, you know, maybe not Russia today, but Vice magazine sometime next week, and then it's probably going to be in mainstream media the week after that. That's my prediction. I wanted to get on record because Tech Dirt is a popular, it's not a hugely popular site, but it's popular enough that it is respected because it's respected a lot. And it is, it's used as a source on Boing Boing, which is a lot more popular, and Wired, which is even more popular than that. And then those two are kind of like gateways to the mainstream media. Now, the interesting thing is the guy who wrote this article, Mike Masnick, who is the guy who runs Tech Dirt. He is famous for something. I think Lou's going to dig this, and it kind of is connected to the whole Molyneux thing. Mike Masnick actually coined the term the Streisand effect.
Yes.
Do you know what explain that.
Okay, the Streisand effect is the effort to get rid of unwanted attention actually brings more attention than the original unwanted attention would have brought.
Yep. And the Freedom Fiend site is back up. We thought it had been hacked by people who don't like being criticized for their philosophy, but no, it's back up. That's a good thing.
the hamsters were on a break.
The hamsters that run the Freedom Fiends website private server were taking a break. Yep. And that's not paranoia. It was a definite possibility. It was only down for about 3 minutes, but that kind of stuff is a definite possibility because these people are, the groupies are mean, man. They protect their king. And the thing is, their king is falling. He's being sued in federal court by True Shives. I didn't really get around to that in the last segment. He's getting sued in court by True Shives. And the thing is, I have heard about 1,000 people in my time on the internet, I don't think that's an exaggeration. I think 1,000 would be a reasonable number who have said, I'm going to sue you, or I'm going to sue that SOB for some, you know, someone getting a perceived slight or a real slight on the internet. And this is a real slight on the internet. This is censoring someone's work and trying to, you know, take away free speech from somebody. I have seen literally, I mean, I would guess, I don't like the word literally, but I would guess I've seen probably around 1,000 people scream, I'm going to sue. And this is the first person I've ever actually seen do it. So I got to say, True Shibe, she has some cojones and I have a lot of respect for it. The thing is, people don't want to stand up to bullies. And it's pretty rare that somebody gets stood up to who actually has what it takes to go through with it. And part of what it takes is the willingness to, like, spend a whole lot of your money. Because to hire a big LA law firm like she has to do something like this costs 20 or 30 grand. And they usually want that much up front. And if you want to help True Shibes with a donation, you can go to TRUSHIBES, TrueShibes.com. And there's a donate link there. I think this is a free speech, could be a precedent setting case. Although to set precedent, a lot of people don't know this, and I've seen so many people saying, I know the law, this is blah, blah, blah. And, like, you know, they're basing on what they've seen on Law and Order, which is criminal law, not civil law anyway. But to set precedent in the United States, oh, the other thing is people say, Molyneux can't be touched because he's in Canada and True Shibes is in America. That doesn't even matter. If for all intents and purposes, for copyright stuff, Canada and America might as well be the same country.
It's that North American Union.
I knew you were going to say something about NAFTA. Yeah. And, but to set press, to be precedent, like when they cite on Law and Order, Judge, I'd like to refer to case blah, blah, blah versus blah, blah, blah. You know, I'd like to refer to True Shibes versus Stalineux or whatever someone will be saying in 5 years in court.
Doge versus Molyneux.
Doge. Here's what it has to do to make precedent, to be precedent. It has to go from one court to a higher court. Now, there's a lot of ways something can do that. You know, if True Shibes loses and gets it appealed at a higher court, or if, you know, True Shibes wins and Molyneux takes it to a higher court, or there's other reasons that things could go to a higher court. That is how stuff becomes precedent. However, it could become a social precedent without doing that, because I think people are going to think twice about trying to censor free speech on the internet, not just on YouTube, but anywhere. And it is the government guns, man, but, you know, live by the government gun, shoot yourself in the foot with the government gun. That's what happens. Here we go.
hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. When I needed a robust and secure home business computer network for my radio show, I hired QPG.us. QPG.us did a great job with a complex custom setup and did it remotely over the internet. Whether you have one computer or 1,000, QPG.us can set up your small business network, no matter where in the world you live, fast and at a reasonable price. QPG.us is a liberty-loving company that can also help you with networking, domain name registration, DNS, email, SSL, VPNs, and more. That's QPG.us.
This is the Freedom Fiends. And we mentioned the Streisand effect in the last segment, you know, a few minutes ago, in the context of Stefan Molyneux. He is feeling the Streisand effect hard right now. It may end up costing him a lot of money, actually. It usually doesn't. It usually just embarrasses people. But, and you know, I'm not even really caring about that. I'm like, oh yeah, the government guns are getting used here. Cause it is a self-defense thing that True Shives is doing. And really, there was no recourse for her outside of the government system. And he initiated the government system. You use what you can when you have to, I think. Because otherwise, you know, and a lot of the people saying she shouldn't be using the government guns. She's using the government. First of all, I've never heard that she's a libertarian. So, you know, she's not violating any rule that you think you can have from your neckbeard life in your mother's basement and never having worked a real job in the world, like a lot of people who sit on the internet and make moral choices for other people. But so the Streisand effect, it is named after Barbra Streisand. It was created by Mike Masnick from Tech Dirt, who wrote this article that's going to go viral tomorrow, I predict, or within 48 hours. Streisand effect is the phenomena whereby an attempt to hide, remove, or censor a piece of information has the unintended consequence of publicizing the information more widely, usually on the internet. It is named after American entertainer Barbra Streisand, who in 2003 attempted to censor photographs of her residence in Malibu, California, inadvertently generated further publicity of it. So basically, somebody took aerial photos of her giant mansion complex on the beach in Malibu and posted them on the internet. And she's such a control freak that she's like, take these off the internet. And they were on a pretty tiny, you know, not a huge website. And they'd been publicly available already on like a government website of coastal photography, but somebody put them somewhere and she tried to file a lawsuit to get them taken down off this government website. It was the California Coastal Records Project, which documents coastal erosion. And it had only been viewed on the website 6 times, and 2 of those times were by Streisand's attorney. As a result of the case, public knowledge in the picture increased substantially. More than 420,000 people visited the website the following month, and it went viral. It got on a billion, you know, 1,000 other websites. So instead of having 4 people ever having viewed it because she tried to sue to take it down, you know, 1 million people saw it. So there. So Lou, what you got, brother?
That would be a fine comparison to Nixon and the plumbers union break into Watergate, to where the cover up was worse than the actual crime. And that's what really, really brought the attention about.
You know, they weren't actually plumbers.
Right. That was their nickname, was the Plumbers Union.
Yeah. They were CIA members who fixed leaks, unquote, quote unquote. So they were called, they called themselves plumbers. Yep. The right. Plumbers Union. So go on. Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Now with this here, I'm going to go with a little background on my experience with Stefan Molyneux. He was a
Did he touch your brain in bad places?
No, he did not. He did not.
Okay.
My early experience with Stefan Molyneux was, of course, the story of your enslavement. And
That's really good. It's one of the good videos from back when things were good and the Molyneux effect hadn't made him turn into a pocket Stalin.
Yeah. I'm not going to call it completely flawless, but if it's not flawless, it's right up there.
It's good. It's really good.
Yeah. I is very good, solid libertarian 101. ANCAP 101, whatever you want to call it. But when you look at that, had he stayed on that particular topic, I think he would have been a whole lot better off. I will say that after learning about peaceful parenting, both hearing him talking about it and then speaking with friends of mine that practice it, and not necessarily because they heard about it from him, but just seeing them in action, how they interact with their children.
Because they read Dr. Spock's baby book that came out in 1961 that said the same things, maybe?
Or maybe not even that. Maybe they chose peaceful parenting, not even knowing that it was called peaceful parenting, because they wanted to do things the opposite of how their parents did it.
There you go.
That is a possibility. However they got to it, I've seen that the people that do practice the peaceful parenting have better relationships with their children. And from everything that I have seen from interacting with these families, it looks like it works. And from what I've seen from other families that do not practice peaceful parenting, that practice authoritarian parenting, that's where you see a lot more of the behavioral problems and the I don't want to say rebelliousness. Well, but
I got to say, Dr. Spock's book, I was wrong, and I'll admit it. It came out in 1946, man, the year after World War II. So, you know, I think that's before Molyneux was born. He's not 90. He's not that old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So things like that are good. But when you look at a lot of his more recent stuff, and I wasn't one of the watchers of the Sunday call-in show, and I just couldn't listen to that whole thing. And it just didn't scratch my crazy cat spot. But from what I have seen, he's doing a lot of self-projecting of his own childhood onto everybody else, and it's not in a situational manner.
Oh, and on women, too. I mean, he had a heinous childhood, and especially his mother was really horrible to him, which is horrible. I'm not, you know, that shouldn't happen, but he's basically trying to get everybody in the world to leave their parents because of it. I would say, you know, he says, oh, only you should only leave abusive people. But then he says that basically all parents are abusive and he's the first good parent in history and that no one knew how to do good parenting before him. And I hear him describe his parenting stuff and it just sounds like the stuff my hippie sister did with her kid. It's like word for word, you know, the same kind of tactics. And, yeah, and he's really harsh on women, too. He's blamed them for all the ills of the world, basically. And I think he's just trying to take what happened with his mother out on every woman in the world. It feels like that to me.
Yeah, and that's the impression that I get from it, too. That might be the underlying thing. It might be subliminal. It might be blatantly intentional. I don't know. I'm not inside of his head, so I can't say what it is.
I don't want to be inside his head. Ugh.
But what I will say is, when you look at how he has censored criticism, nobody's violating copyright, so there's no reason for him to do the DMCA, whatever it is, YMCA, I don't know. But what he's doing is he's censoring criticism rather than protecting IP. And for somebody who does not support IP, it's like a drug warrior politician that campaigns for stiffer sentences getting busted with cocaine and heroin and meth and all that other stuff. So in our words, Stefan's acting like a politician, like a Republican.
Or a Democrat. They get caught doing that too.
Yeah. But here's the thing. And Ben has talked about this with being a Quaker. And I mean Ben Stone of the Bad Quaker podcast, badquaker.com. When they go to the meetings and they give testimonies of their faith, they don't say what they're going to do. And they don't say, you know, all these things are going to happen in the future because they can't make that type of promise. But your testimony of your faith is not what you say it is. It's actually your actions. So if Stefan says that he does not support the IP laws and copyright laws, then he should not be using them, period. And it's not one of these things of, well, this is the system that I have, so I have to work within it. Because all he's doing is censoring criticism. If he wants to be an anarcho-capitalist, he has to take the pushback of, I don't agree with you. And he has to answer it rather than...
Because that's the market. And he just he crows about the market so much that it helped some of us get to the idea of the market, him and a lot of other people. But... he's trying to avoid the market is what he's trying to do. And to me, the bigger thing, a much bigger issue than the hypocrisy of him using the government guns that he's spoken against so eloquently for so many years, so often, that he's actually picked them up and used them in a situation where, you know, you could just ignore it and it would probably go away. Or, you know, you'd ignore it and it would just be a little voice in the background. He's brought a lot of followers probably to the whole thing, to the True Shibes movement. But really the much bigger issue to me isn't how he censored a critic, what government voodoo he used to do it. It's that he censored a critic. I don't care if he used a magic wand to do it. I don't care if he, hacked YouTube to do it. I don't care if he called somebody he knew at YouTube and had them take it down, secretly and denied it. I don't care how it happened. Censoring like straight up slander, like if someone is, trying to get something taken down, that's straight up slander. Like if someone says you're a murderer and you're not, I could almost see it in that case. Although the best thing to do would probably be to just ignore it. But
right.
Censoring criticism is the sign of somebody with a weak argument. It really is. If you have a strong argument, the argument speaks for itself, and you don't need to like send your minions to go mess with people, and you don't need to do backdoor things that are, not you don't have to cheat at the copyright game to try to get something taken down. Like you just leave it up, and he has all these rote arguments that his followers always throw at you. Like if you don't like him, debate him. First of all, like he's really good at debate, which has nothing to do with truth. Like literally the guy could debate a scientist with Molyneux saying that the sky is green or purple all the time, and the scientist saying that the sky is blue most of the time, and it would look like Molyneux won because that's how good he is at rhetoric. And
yeah,
I mean that.
Yes,
word.
He has a very good personality, and he can be persuasive even when he's swilling BS at people.
Yeah, I mean, and the other thing is like he's brainwashed. I don't know if brainwashed is a word, but he's convinced otherwise intelligent people so strongly that his wrong things are right, that I think he could literally, and I'm being hyperbolic here, but I literally think he could put out a video where he's beating a baby with a kitten. And I think a lot of his fans would still follow him, because if for people who say they love logic and truth and they actually, and that they hate logical fallacies, why do they put up with his false statements and just statements with no basis and his logical fallacies? And he uses logical fallacies in almost every paragraph that comes out of his mouth. And he will not debate people too. Like, he used to let critics come to the front of the line on his call-in show. And recently several critics of his have tried to call in and they just sit on hold and they don't get put on at all ever.
Well, if you have a good position, it's not that difficult to defend it. And I think that Stefan and his followers, they really need to let their life and their actions be their testimony and not rely on what they say that they are.
Yeah.
Because that is a true measure.
Hey, Gretchen.
Of a person.
Gretchen, yes. I heard you go worms like in agreement when I said something about him and women. You got 10 seconds. What do you got?
Yeah, the more and more time I've just listened to him, it seemed like it was just somewhere his empathy ended, where mine
there
keeps going.
There you go.
Worms. Excellent.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Fiends. So, Lysander Fiend, what's on your mind?
It is time for another installment of Is It Real or Is It the Onion?
Explain the Onion.
The Onion and similar satire sites, they may take stuff that is current news and exaggerate it, or they might just make something up completely out of thin air. And because the news today is so goofy, it is often difficult to distinguish between The Onion and other satire sites and the real news.
All right. I'm ready. Are you ready, Gretchen?
I'm ready.
Okay. Gretchen's going to go first on each one. I'll go second.
And for those that are playing the board game at home, okay, first one is, voters excited to use midterms to put country back on different wrong track.
Gretchen.
I guess the Onion.
I'd say the Onion.
It is the Onion, but it is true.
Exactly.
We've been going down the wrong path for the past few years, and now it's time to get some new people in there who can lead our country astray in a different direction, said North Carolina voter Lisa Berkland, adding that Washington, D.C. needed an influx of new misguided politicians with their own terrible visions for the country to change the manner in which the nation is veering off course. Okay, next up. Cop breaks into home with no warrant and kills unarmed teen. Judge dismisses case.
Gretchen.
Oh, that's got real.
I'll say real.
It is real, and that comes to us from the Free Thought Project. After public outrage and legal proceedings, the judge has simply thrown out the indictment of Officer Richard Haste, who gunned down an unarmed teen, Romarley Graham, inside his own home without a warrant. Haste was facing manslaughter charges until the judge tossed the indictment. The story got a minuscule amount of coverage when compared to other stories from the MSM. Why is the story not in headlines, on TVs, and scrolling through ticker bars across the country like the Zimmerman-Martin case? And there's a lot of this going on. A lot of unarmed people are being killed by cops, and there's absolutely no repercussions. It appears that laws don't apply to law enforcers.
Yep.
They just go down the memory hole.
Yep. Yeah. Next up, NSW, and this is like Australia, government considers ditching car fleet and using Uber and GoGet to save $7 million.
Who's thinking of doing that?
Like one of the state governments in Australia. It says NSW. I don't know what it stands for.
Okay. Gretchen?
I'm going to say the Onion.
I'm going to say the Onion too. Really?
This comes to us from the Daily Telegraph in Australia.
Wow.
Finance and Services Minister Dominique Perrault, French name. It is set to announce a plan to break the state fleet monopoly by using companies like Uber and GoGet in a bid to save approximately $5 million to $7 million each year. A source close to the minister said government departments were wasting too much money on cars. A recent review found the government spends $230 million a year on cars, $15 million on maintenance, and $37 million on fuel. The fact that the government spends hundreds of millions of dollars on cars, many of which stay idle, no pun intended, is a complex waste of taxpayer money, the source said.
Wow.
Wow, so, yeah, I'm in disbelief.
I thought it was Onion because it reminded me of an Onion article one time that Obama signs executive order backing American currency with Dogecoin.
I just might come to that sooner or later. Okay, last one. Officials threatening to arrest citizens who repaired neglected roads.
Yeah, I think, go ahead,
it's
Gretchen.
True.
Yeah, it's got to be true.
It is. The roads in Doncaster, UK are cracked and full of potholes, and the city council refused to fix them for decades.
Doncaster. Isn't that right up the street from West Leamington?
I'm not really sure. After members of the community put together £6,000 to build a road and turn some of the potholes into speed bumps, the city council decided to respond by digging up the fixed roads. Not only that, but the council says they will have anyone who tries to fix them or prevent them from being dug up arrested. The residents asked the workers who were sent to dig up their road to stop, and the workers stopped out of respect, so the council got upset and threatened to arrest the residents. The city council previously claimed they had no jurisdiction over the roads and used that as a reason why they did not fix them. But when residents fixed the problem themselves, they were told the council had the power to dig up their work and arrest anyone who resisted.
That's so square.
All right, don't man. People have anything better to do?
It's been a good show, y'all.
Have some tiny group of people.
have that phrase. Kick it around for a while. See where it gets you.
Pointing tiny group of people at each other.
Yep. My spelling of ANCAP has become the predominant spelling. That one caught on. The camel case, all one word.
That's how I do it.
Yep. Worms.
Nice chatting with you again, Gretchen. Thanks for coming on the show. We loved having you.
We'll have you back.
Wine.
Worms.
Wines.